Welcome back to the RBR Recap, another special edition. I'm Alex Burgos, joined by my special co-host, Sebastian Milo. Sebastian, how are you, sir?
Doing well, can't complain. It's a busy week in boxing.
For sure, man. That's always exciting. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give the folks out there a little two cents on what's going on with our co-host, Gabe Rivas. So for many of you that have been following the show, obviously, you know, for the last year, him and I have been doing it. And as of recently, he took a gig as the PR director over at Top Rank. So big kudos, big props, proud of you, Gabe. And so as he settles into that new role, Sebastian's been good enough to join me on a couple of these. And obviously, if you saw our show last week, we chopped it up with Raul Marquez, which was really fun. And then we hope to do a lot of stuff like this, which you'll notice today. And as you listen to the show, it's kind of not just recap of fights, but, you know, recap of what's going on in the boxing world, looking ahead to some exciting things. And it's been really exciting having you, Sebastian, as a guest twice. And then last week also when we got together with Raul. So I appreciate you joining us. And I just want to give you the floor for a minute, too, since we didn't do it last week, but give the folks a little bit of your background and what you're up to these days.
No, I appreciate it, Alex. Always a privilege to be here. Yeah, for myself, obviously, prior to my current role at Cabra Sports as senior social media manager, I was at DAZN for 3 years, worked my way up from a content associate to the social media manager, overseeing, obviously, the boxing front in North America and UK, but also multi-sport, you know, NFL and soccer as well. Now I'm at a new company called Cabra Sports, which is a Latino sports fandom, sports media entity, where we cover sports through the lens of Latino fandom, but for everyone. So obviously, it's a privilege to continue to be in the boxing space and do something I love. And obviously, ties personally close to home, being Latino myself. So
Definitely. That's exciting, man. So yeah, big shout out to you and all the things that you're doing. Your time at DAZN was super important. Just the way that the content rolled out. And I really loved everything that you were doing over there. And I hope to see you continue with your new venture as well. So excited to have you here, man. So let's jump right into it. So one of the things we wanted to talk about is the cash cow, the king of boxing, whatever you want to call him, Saul Canelo Alvarez. And obviously, he just recently announced that he's headed back to Mexico. Obviously, he's been linked to one John Ryder, who sprung the mild upset, I'd say, in his last outing against Daniel Jacobs. And so that's been a name thrown around. And, you know, apparently they're in discussions and finalizing a deal for him to face Ryder in Mexico. So let's jump right into it. Obviously, Canelo is comfortable, happy working with Matchroom. And I think that's a good fight. And honestly, Gabe and I discussed that a year ago, which I think some people laughed at, you know, when they were like, you know, what's next for John Ryder? You know, if the chips, you know, fall where they may, which they end up doing, you know, Canelo took a loss and, you know, these other things, Ryder still banking off that win. This makes sense as maybe a fight, maybe even if Canelo would have gone to the UK or is now a homecoming fight. So what do you think of this fight? And I'll just drop my two cents before I kick it to you, but I think he's earned something like this. So let's not, you know, fans on the outside being, oh, he's not fighting, you know, Bivol or who. Look, he's been on a hell of a run. He deserves one of these. And I think it'll be fun. It'll be a good homecoming event for him. Your thoughts?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, now's the time, you know, give him a break. The guy has done everything over the last year. So you know what? He deserves a homecoming fight and to give back to his fans and what some people say, a tune-up. But look, if we talked about this fight a year ago, which it was being considered, and I remember explicitly it was being considered to go to the UK, I would say, okay, that's not the right time. This is a weird fight to set up. It's a tune-up. Doesn't make any sense. Ryder had nothing to show for. Obviously, he had his win over Jacobs. Canelo's done everything that he's done so far. He deserves the opportunity to just float through one back at home. So I think right now, this is the perfect timing for this fight. Look, if I look at it from a direct perspective, fight to fight, like Ryder versus Canelo, yeah, there are some things that turn me off on this one. Obviously, if you look at the range of Canelo's opponents, you know, and compare the resume with Ryder, Ryder lost to all of previous Canelo opponents, to Callum Smith, Rocky Fielding, and Billy Joe Saunders. So direct comparison, probably not the best fight to make, but you know what? I think it's more the nostalgia of this fight. Returning to Mexico, probably, in my opinion, one of the biggest homecoming returns since Chavez in 93 against Greg Haugen. So you know what? Credit to Canelo. I'm happy he's returning home. And it's just going to be a great atmosphere and a good one for the fans to go back to Guadalajara at allegedly the Estadio Jalisco. So I'm excited for it, honestly.
Yeah, and I will say in Ryder's defense, okay, he got the win over Jacobs, but you could argue that he got the victory over Callum Smith, that he
True.
should have won that fight. So, what have you done for me lately? Which is like the quintessential, phrase in boxing, and that's how, even if you don't think of it that way, that's how fans act. What have you done for me lately? And so, lately Ryder's been, on the up and up. And so again, putting it into perspective, it is a homecoming fight. It is something set up for Canelo to shine, but no more so than Avni Yildirim. And, I think he'll put up a better fight than that. So, I think he's earned it, and it's fair. It'll be a big event, and I think the fans deserve it. And I think also the fighters deserve it. Ryder deserves the big payday, and then Canelo deserves that kind of like riding in on his horse homecoming type fight.
Exactly. And to your point, credit to Ryder. I mean, we can't overlook him either. I mean, he is the WBO. He has a secondary title over there, the interim title. So, he is technically a title holder and he's coming off that win off Jacobs. So, the timing is right for him. And to his point, yeah, he deserves it. You know what? When you can get, as Canelo says, payday, why wouldn't you do that?
Right. Yeah. Even though Demetrius Andre is probably punching the wall somewhere.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Shout out to Boo Boo. We like you, man. So transitioning now to from Canelo to a fight that's actually on the books in a few weeks. A guy that had Canelo on his mind and maybe still does, Zurdo Ramirez, coming off the first loss of his career against Dimitri Bivol. He's taking on probably a surprise opponent for a lot of people, because we thought he was out the door and officially retired pretty much in Gabriel Rosado. But the quintessential fighter, quintessential tough Philly guy, obviously passed it a little bit, but he's had his moments even when we thought, okay, this is it, it's enough. I personally have mixed feelings, and I know we kind of were talking off camera. I think you do as well, but I want to kick it to you to see what your thoughts are on this fight, as a comeback for Zurdo, and then just in terms of Gabe Rosado's legacy and just his longevity. Is this really a good idea for him to be getting in there with Zurdo?
Yeah, like you said, mixed feelings. I mean, first and foremost, obviously Rosado, we all know he will never pass up an opportunity. He'll never say no to anyone. Obviously, go back to his Triple G days, Charlo days. He'll take on anyone and everyone, no matter what, even if he's the underdog, which he is in almost every fight. This one is no different. However, it does concern me, his age, coming off three straight losses. He's 37. He was considering walking away the last couple fights, and now he's going in against a guy who is a light heavyweight. Some can argue is probably even bigger than a light heavyweight. Rosado, 168, but probably more so a natural middleweight. I mean, it's just a weird matchup. And to me, it scares me a little bit. It worries me for Rosado. I know he's tough. He'll always go out on the shield, but after three straight losses and at this age, when is enough? When should you walk away? Is it too much? And that's my concern right now. On the flip side with Zurdo, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a good fight. Anytime you get Mexico versus Puerto Rico in there, it's a good, I don't want to say tune-up, but a comeback fight for Zurdo. So it's going to be exciting, but it also worries me a bit, and especially on Rosado's side.
Yeah, the humanity aspect of it. A lot of times it gets lost in the shuffle when you're as just a fan saying, "Oh, this is a garbage fight," or no. Well, let's look at it, under that lens. I think it's fair
Yeah.
to do so. I think Golden Boy is setting up Zurdo for a return in a positive way for him, and it's kind of the deck is stacked against Rosado. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like, when is enough enough? Zurdo, two fights ago came in as a heavyweight. I remember like 237. You know what I mean? Like, Rosado is just not that big. He's not that guy. It doesn't matter, what he did to the bully, with that knockout. I would really like to see him kind of go off in the sunset and do other things. I mean, he's been in Creed, he's got some acting chops. I mean, he speaks well, he can do some commentating. I think there's other avenues for him to explore, I would hope, as opposed, but like I said at the beginning, he's just that quintessential fighter. It just seems like that spirit is not going to walk away or leave him anytime soon. And so, yeah, you put a challenge in front of him like this, he's probably like, hell yeah, sign me up. Where do I sign?
Yeah, to your point, that's probably the part that drew him in most. And you know what? It draws us in too. Let's be
Yeah.
real, because anytime we see Rosado going in against a heavy favorite, him being the underdog, it's going to be a good show. I mean, you just know it. You never know, like what you said, what he did against Bektimir Malikuziev, we might see that this time around because everyone's counting him out. Everyone's already siding with Zurdo. So you just don't know that mentality.
Yeah, so that'll be one to keep an eye on. That's March 18th, like I said, in a few weeks. And then right after that, we got to jump into one that's going to be exciting as well. We briefly discussed it with Raul Marquez last week, but I'm licking my chops. I'm super excited about this one. Officially, of what's on the books, this one excites me the most. And David Benavidez versus Caleb Plant. A lot of history back and forth, just beef, bad blood, endless amounts of social media back and forth. This one really excites me. So that's going to be March 25th on Showtime pay-per-view. Let's dig in a little bit more to this one before we actually, either preview or recap it after the fight. But Sebastian, what are your thoughts on this one? What you're seeing from both men, and just like, how this is going to play out? What are your thoughts?
I'm excited on this one. I mean, I see a lot of legit animosity towards each other. Fun mind games too, right? Like it was really funny to see what Plant was doing with buying the domain and selling the merchandise, buying the Benavidez domain. Right now, I think the buildup has been great. I think Plant is winning on the mind games right now, leading up to this. I think he's in Benavidez's head. But on the flip side, it's nice to finally see Benavidez in there with a top 10 super middleweight. And a lot of it is not his own fault, obviously. A lot of people just didn't want to fight him. What was the reward if he didn't have the title? Things like that. Obviously he's had his ups and downs with some of those issues, whether it was weight or with, the substance stuff. But this is a great build-up fight, and you know what? It's gonna be a great fight nonetheless.
Yeah, I agree. This one really checks all the boxes. Like you said, just to get, that storyline is built already, because it's been, this is one of those ones where letting it marinate a little bit actually worked out. It panned out. It doesn't really even matter about the belts or whatnot. And both guys are still at the top. Plant, even with his loss to Canelo, did himself, justice in that fight, and he still looked good. And so we still, now on the back of the Durrell fight, we're like, he's coming now with Breadman with some power. Which getting a few hours to chop it up with Breadman during the tank fight week. He's told us a little bit about, Caleb's strengths and in the gym, and being able to sit down on his punches and having power. So there's maybe certain things that we haven't seen as much in fights other than that Durrell fight. So that's interesting. Obviously, David Benavidez is a monster, just like Mike Tyson calls him. I mean, we know what to expect. An ambush, just coming forward. And so will Caleb be able to take that pressure is what I'm kind of like curious about. But it's interesting, man. I'm not going to put my prediction out there quite yet, but I could see it going either way, 50-50. And it's just going to be exciting to see as this stuff kind of rolls down the pipeline, more trash talk and all that stuff. March 25th for real can't come soon enough.
No, I agree with you. I mean, can't really give a prediction on it, but obviously for Plant coming off that emphatic win, ninth round KO over Durrell, I mean, that's a confidence booster, and he's got the skills to pay the bills into a fight like this. But to have the confidence now coming off, a win after that loss, it just sets it up for a much better fight than what we anticipated beforehand. So yeah, it's gonna be great.
Most definitely. Yeah. And I will say, I think if he's able to stay in the pocket a little bit more, not expend a lot of energy, boxing on the back foot as much like he did against Canelo, because I thought he did well. Obviously,
Yeah.
his reflexes are top notch. But if he's not expending so much energy moving and is able to make Benavidez miss still within the pocket, that bodes well for him. So, is Benavidez just going in there swinging for the fences, tiring himself out? That might be interesting to watch. So, as that rolls along and comes a little closer to that date, we'll break that one down, and then obviously with the recap of that fight as well. So look out for that.
100%.
Yeah, but lastly, we wanted to also get into some big news on a boxing free agent that recently came to fruition, which was Edgar Berlanga parting ways with Top Rank. A mutual breakup, I will say, is what they said it was. Just kind of differing perspectives and where they wanted Berlanga's career to go, the fighter versus the promoter. And so, following him and getting to do a bunch of RBR recap episodes on fights that he was in, I feel kind of, invested in this one, because I was like, we were talking about this for so much, and trying to figure out, what do you go? Like, he sells tickets, but he's just obviously not in the ring ready for some of these, higher class fights. And so it's kind of tough. And what I was saying back then, almost a year ago, and what I would say now, but I see obviously this is not going to be the route. I would say get him on some like undercard pay-per-view stuff or off television stuff, working on the things that he needs to do in the gym. But I think he's, you know, no fault of his, but he's enamored with the fact that, hey, I can sell. I am a big draw. You know, I do have a name. I don't want to let that go to waste. So now we're here where he signed with Eddie Hearn and Matchroom Boxing. Obviously, I'm sure they're dangling that Canelo super matchup for him, you know, something that he's talked about wanting. So you're going to have to win some big fights to get that fight, I think, but obviously it's a goal of his. And so kudos to him for stepping up to the plate and wanting to take on some challenges. But Sebastian, I'll kick it to you in terms of what do you think of this signing? Obviously there was a bidding war, a lot of different, you know, Golden Boy courted him. There was these other companies and things like that. People want him because he's obviously a good commodity to have in your stable. So where do you think he goes from here and what should he do to maximize his potential?
Yeah, I mean, Berlanga knows his worth, and that's why he left, and that's why he joined Matchroom. You know, he knows he can sell. He's got that Puerto Rican, you know, fan base around him, and he's got that bad boy personality, right? Like, he knows how to sell. He's a true entertainer, as he said himself. So credit to him. You know, right now, do I think he's probably overexceeding or accentuating his worth and how good he is? Probably, but you know what? That's self-confidence. You can't hate that. I was watching on the DAZN boxing show, actually, you know, shout out to Akin Brock. He was saying that this is a 3-fight deal, possibly 4. And when I heard that, I was like, 4 fights? That doesn't make sense. He said, these are his words, that it would be 2 fights, then the third one with Canelo, and then the fourth would be a rematch with Canelo, considering he wins the first one, which to me is a little crazy. But, you know, kudos to him. I respect the hustle. He was saying that he wants Munguia and Triple G as his first fight and his second fight in the buildup to the Canelo fight. So look, when I hear that, I think this guy just wants to go straight to it. He's not going to fight no, you know, tin cans anymore. He thinks he's up there with the top dogs and he's going to chase after them. So you know what? I think it's a good and bad thing. I think it's good that, you know what, get your bag, go fight the guys who, you know, everyone's been telling you to go fight. But at the same time, when he goes to fight Munguia or Triple G, we're really going to see what he's made out of. You know, I think that's something that's been missing. We just don't know where his ceiling is right now. So I think this is the perfect signing for him. It's really a make or break for his career, in all honesty. So I'm excited for it. Me personally, I think he should fight Pacheco, who's in-house with Matchroom. I think that's an easy one to make. And then Munguia, who obviously he met with De La Hoya before at Golden Boy. So I'm sure that's an easy fight they can make. But those would be the two that I want to see. And I think he needs to have fights like that because let's be real. I know Eddie Hearn and Matchroom dangled Canelo on him, but is he really on Canelo's radar? I doubt Canelo's even thinking about him. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Until he gets one of those wins. And hey, I mean, a Munguia win, that says a lot because we need to see some more from Munguia as well in terms of like, you know, opponents. So I think that's a win-win right there. And then Triple G, I mean, you win that one. That's just, again, that storyline writes itself, you know, finishing off Triple G maybe, and then transitioning into a Canelo fight for Berlanga. But big, you know, big asks, I think I would say for both of those fights, you know, for as critical as we want to be of Jaime Munguia, just because of who he's fought, not his potential, because he's young and he's got a lot to offer. But in terms of not knowing what he can offer against the upper echelon, Berlanga not quite there yet, but still he knocks Berlanga off, then a lot of people are more on the bandwagon for Munguia. And I think it goes both ways. Berlanga too, you know, you knock off a young guy like Munguia and then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. This guy is the goods. He's maybe what we thought he was before, because I think he's suffering from that knockout streak. And, you know, for as much fanfare and you know, credit he got for that, he lost a lot of maybe the basics and just he needs to kind of go back to that. And that's why I thought maybe getting some rounds and undercard stuff would be good for him. But just, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, he's going to have to get a win against someone notable and do it fast, especially if we're on that track that you just discussed that he said 3 fights, possibly 4. We're talking about, you know, some pretty big names in Munguia, Triple G, and Canelo. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, from Top Rank's perspective too, they probably made a good deal because, a good decision, just because they were probably like, you know, we're not going to throw you in there. It's not going to make sense. And if you want to go that route, go ahead. We're just not going to be part of that.
Exactly. And, you know, talking about Munguia, Berlanga, like if I think truly who needs it more, Berlanga needs it more. People forget Munguia was a world champion, you know? So Berlanga, I mean, hasn't really done much yet. I mean, what's his biggest win? Steve Rolls? So yeah, to your point, he needs better bodies in front of him. And a fight against Munguia, a fight against Triple G, a fight against Pacheco, any of those is something at least that it will show who he really is. And And yeah, maybe put him on Canelo's radar. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure. Canelo's got to handle some business first against John Ryder. So it's good chopping it up about all that stuff. And we'll obviously keep a keen eye on the two fights that we mentioned that are coming up in March. And then when, you know, Canelo officially gets announced, and then what happens with Edgar Berlanga. So a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pipeline, and we'll obviously be back to chop it up about that. But Sebastian, I appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back soon.
Likewise. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the RBR Recap. Make sure to follow us on social media at RBR Recap and visit RBRRecap.com for the latest episodes.